How do you know you're up to date? When you follow EMS World, you answer that question with confidence. Because when we say EMS World, we mean the whole world of EMS. The remaining question for you is, how will you stay up to date? In print, online, at EMS World Expo, the world's largest EMS dedicated conference, and now in a podcast.
Let me just first start off by saying EMS World Expo is like the Super Bowl of pre-hospital world. I mean, this is like where everyone gets together. There's like thousands of people there. There are certain tiers of human needs that have to be met in order for us to be able to learn actively and efficiently.
I'm Ginger Locke from the Medic Mindset podcast. Thanks to EMS World, I've gotten access to some of the speakers who will be at EMS World Expo in New Orleans this year. This is one episode in a series of discussions with educators speaking there. Today, I'm talking to Dr. Salim Razai about his expo session called Back to the Drawing Board, Learning Strategies You Should Know. Dr. Razai is an EM physician in San Antonio, Texas, and you may know him from his podcast and blog, Rebel EM. I've learned so much from him through the years, and I can't wait to introduce you to him. So without further ado, here's our chat. We first met several years ago at a course that you taught. You were a member of the faculty on this course I took called the podcasting course. And this has been years ago. Recording this episode feels full circle because right now I'm using skills that you taught me. I wanted to thank you and just tell you how much fun I've had podcasting, and you helped get me started. Thanks.
Of course. That's one of the joys of education is that you get to see all these people with great ideas just kind of getting their message out. Just simply, they just didn't have the tools or they didn't know the tools to be able to do it. And just seeing people like yourself just kind of accelerating at it and taking on whole new levels. And I'm sure that you've learned so much more than anything I ever taught you. I probably should take a course from you at this point. It's great to see.
Well, in talking to you, I learned a lot about podcasting, but when we were talking before we were recording, I was taking notes about what you were teaching me. Like, you've taught me so much about your life philosophies and your how to run a big project philosophies, and it's always fruitful. Can you introduce yourself? I know who you are, but I'm not sure all the EMS World listeners know all of your bio, and you may even surprise me with some things that I didn't know yet. So tell me all of it.
For those of you who don't know me, my name's Salim Razai. Most people just call me Sal because it's just, we truncate things in the United States and it's a lot easier. I am a community ER physician in San Antonio, Texas. I work for a Democratic community group called Greater San Antonio Emergency Physicians. I don't hold any special titles. I don't work at the big ivory towers of an academic center. I take care of patients for a living. That's what I do. One of my side hustles, I guess, or professional hobbies, however you'd like to phrase that, is I am the creator and founder of a critical care and critical appraisal blog called Rebel EM, which can be found at rebelem.com. And then also love to use social media for educational purposes and to help improve patient care. And you can find me at my handle, which is at @srrezaie.
That's your Twitter handle. And that's how I've learned so much from you, is just Twitter. Like, we don't get to talk that much, but I'm just always lurking and following your stuff.
And it's sad because we don't live that far away from each other. You know, you're in Austin, Texas. I'm in San Antonio, Texas. So
we need to fix ourselves.
I agree. We need to remedy that.
So what's the name of your talk at Expo? What's the title?
Yeah, of course. So it's called Back to the Drawing Board, Learning Strategies You Should Know.
And how did you pick the phrasing of back to the drawing board?
Yeah, so I became interested in learning strategies for a few reasons. And the reason I called it back to the drawing board is that, you know, nobody ever taught any of us how to be efficient or great at learning or how to tackle a textbook chapter. Just none of these tools were ever taught to any of us, right? We just kind of figured it out on our own and we kind of moved forward. One of the lucky things I have had in my career is that I've really enjoyed doing presentation design, which got me invited to a bunch of medical education conferences and then ultimately putting on some of my own conferences, as you had mentioned before. In one of those, somewhere along the line, somebody mentioned this book called Make It Stick, which is different than Made to Stick. They're two totally different books. So Make It Stick, it's the one with the light blue cover. It's called The Science of Successful Learning. Although it sounds super nerdy and boring, it's actually written very well. And I read that book. I literally sat down and finished it in 2 days. I mean, I couldn't believe that I finished the entire book. The number of things I learned from that book were just absolutely amazing. And it just solidified that nobody had ever really taught me how to learn efficiently. These are now things that I'm applying every day and that I'm teaching new learners every day because they're things that I wish I would have known. And that's kind of where I gained the interest. And that's why it's back to the drawing board, because it's like I'm learning to learn all over again.
And like a lot of EMS educators, I have very minimal formal education on how to be an educator, right? I'm a paramedic. That's where my formal education is. Most of what I've learned has been interacting with educators like you. In these discussions and with other educators, I've slowly gotten the language out of books like Make It Stick. A couple of the terms in that book, one is called interleaving and another I believe is called spaced repetition. Is that something that you're going to cover at Expo? And can you summarize what those concepts are so people can kind of start getting a flavor of what you're going to talk about at Expo?
Yeah, those are two of the concepts I'll be covering. So let's start with spaced repetition first, because I think that's probably the easiest one. And one that I think most of us realize works, but we just didn't know that it had a name. Mm-hmm. And so this is basically just you're augmenting your forgetting curve. So let's say, Ginger, you learn a new concept today. I taught you something new. And you do absolutely nothing with that information. Well, as time goes on, there's a decay of how much of that information you remember. And so what spaced repetition is that somewhere along that forgetting curve, you set a reminder for yourself. And it kind of renews that concept. You review it again, and it kind of helps solidify those connections that you had made the initial time. And so then again, there will be this kind of forgetting curve that happens after that reminder. But because it's a reminder, you're now starting to input this into your long-term memory. And so you end up actually retaining things a lot better, and you actually remember things a lot better. And so that's how spaced repetition is used. The best example of that I can think of is there's an app out there called Anki, A-N-K-I, which is this fantastic app. It's free, where you can set reminders for yourself. And so like if you learn something new, you can input that concept in there and set a date for it to remind you, like how you get pinged on your phone. Now you're getting pinged by Anki to remember this concept. And so that's kind of like in motion how I see that working really well. The second concept you mentioned was interleaving, which is basically another way of saying varied practice. And so this is basically when we all went to school, at least when I went to school, we had things put into blocks, right? So we learned anatomy in a block. We learned pharmacology in a block. We learned cardiovascular system in a block. Everything was in blocks. And actually, that's not the most ideal way to learn. What's better is mixing and matching things. So learning cardiovascular and pharmacology and pulmonology kind of all at the same time. I like to kind of tell a little story, and I'll share this at EMS World Expo as well, but there was a story about a bunch of six-year-olds learning to throw beanbags into a bucket. In one line, they had the six-year-olds throw these beanbags into a 3-foot bucket. And in the other line, they had the six-year-olds practice throwing this beanbag into a 2-foot and 4-foot bucket. And they did this for like 6 weeks. At the end of the 6 weeks, they kind of waited a week, and then they did a practice, or they did a test. And the test was, we want you to throw the beanbag into the 3-foot bucket. And who did better? It wasn't the kids throwing the beanbag in the 3-foot bucket. It was the kids throwing the beanbags in the 2-foot and 4-foot bucket. And that's the best example or story I can think of for varied practice.
In your session description, you mentioned this word constructivism, which is, again, a new word for me. You're always teaching me new words. So I did some research on it. As you're describing this kid with the beanbag, I'm thinking about the theory of constructivism. And this is what I found as a definition of what constructivism is. It's a theory about how people learn, and it says that people construct their own understanding and knowledge of the world through experiencing things and reflecting on those experiences. And so I'm thinking about this kid with a beanbag. They toss it at different lengths, and you know, it may be quick reflection, but they're constantly kind of reassessing, changing the data, and they're encountering something new. And this is what it says in the definition. It says, when we encounter something new, we have to reconcile it with our previous ideas and experience, maybe changing what we believe, or maybe discarding the new information as irrelevant. And why is it important for an instructor to know about this educational theory of constructivism?
Yeah, so I mean, this is a known thing. Students learn best by actively creating their own knowledge structures, right? So you learn a concept and you create a construct, and that's kind of the concrete detail you have in your mind. And this is in stark contrast to what's kind of the traditional behavioral models, which is education is unidirectional flow of like a teacher gives a lecture dogmatically and it's unidirectional, and then the learner kind of passively tries to learn that information. It's a stark contrast to that concept of how we teach in the classroom is you want to be active in students' learning. And that's what constructivism is all about. You basically allow or enable learners to self-organize knowledge that they can receive from that teacher. And so technology is all around us now. And so the example I like to give for this is imagine opening up a shared Google Doc, right? Or a wiki, having access for all the students. And as you're lecturing, they are all kind of adding to that Google Doc at the same time and interacting with each other. As they're doing that, they're kind of creating their own notes for that class. So you're giving them the information, but they're actively like communicating with each other in that Google Doc. That's one example of what I can think of. And so the big thing is that you're allowing them to be active in their learning and not passive in their learning and kind of create their own constructs. But also the reflection portion of that is very important. And that's where a Google Doc is really great, because somebody might write one idea, one concept down that somebody else never thought about, which makes them kind of reflect in an active way.
Right. And they start asking questions and kind of fine tuning that schematic.
Exactly.
I was thrilled to see you mention Maslow's hierarchy of needs in your session description. How in the world does that end up in a talk about learning?
Yeah, so you're right. It's not really a learning theory, but I think the concept that's important here is that there are certain tiers of human needs that have to be met in order for us to be able to learn actively and efficiently. And that's why I threw this in there, is because I think a lot of times as healthcare practitioners, doctors, paramedics, we don't really do such a good job of taking care of ourselves, but we always try and take care of others. And I always say, if you're not taking care of yourself, how are you supposed to take care of others? And it's no different in the classroom. Maslow's pyramid of needs is basically this motivational hierarchy of needs. You need to be able to meet the kind of lower needs first before you can get to the higher needs. And that's basically the concept here. And so without giving too much away for the talk, basically your lower needs are kind of physiological needs, so things like food, water, warmth, rest, which how many of us are actually getting rest?
Right. I'm thinking of my learners as they come into the classroom. I have to start there. Like some of them are so tired and or haven't eaten. They've come off a shift the night before or something.
And then the next after that is safety needs, right? So you have to feel secure and safe, like so classroom setting, right? You're not in the middle of some, gangbanger's apartment while you're trying to do this learning, right? So that's, you got to feel safe. And that's also psychological safety as well, because if you're talking about really deep and tough things, you want to let the learner know that they're in a safe space. And so that's not just physical safety. And I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads to the next tier, which is kind of love and belonging, right? And so this is like relationships, friends, social acceptance, those sorts of things. And that's that psychological safety I was kind of leading into earlier. But you have to kind of meet all these things before you can actually get to the last two tiers, which is your esteem needs, which is feeling of accomplishment, self-esteem, recognition. And then the most important tier, which is self-actualization, which is achieving one's potential, including creative activities. You can't get to those higher tiers unless your lower tiers are taken care of and met first.
So you are coming off the heels of a conference that you put on. You organize it, you produce it. It's your baby. It's called Rebellion.
Yeah, Rebellion and EM.
How are you doing?
It takes a couple weeks to recover after putting something on like that. There's a lot of moving parts. Anybody who's put on a conference knows. I feel great. I mean, I'm rested. It's always great to interact with people, to see something that you create in your mind actually come to fruition is a phenomenal feeling. And to hear the feedback that it's doing really well and that people learned a ton and it's going to change their practice, there's no other feeling like it.
Well, I was watching it closely on social media and saw a huge piece of art. I think Willem Milo made it, and I think it was you. I think he drew you. It was life size.
I'm not sure that was me. I we decided to call that guy Hal and not Sal. So we think it might have been a long lost brother. We don't think it was actually me.
So having made your own conference, right? And you've, I'm sure, been to loads of conferences. How did you decide to submit to speak at Expo? Why is it important for you to go to that one?
Let me just first start off by saying EMS World Expo is like the Super Bowl of pre-hospital world. I mean, this is like where everyone gets together. There's like thousands of people there. And I never even knew this conference even existed till about a year and a half ago. The way I got involved in it is, as you said, I've been doing a lot of medical education conferences, and we got invited to come out and do a workshop at EMS World Expo. As part of that, I also was able to work with the competition, the clinical competition. I was one of the on-site medical directors for that, that iSimulate puts on. I met Hillary, and we basically started having conversations, and she, I guess, liked what she saw or liked what she heard and invited me to consider applying and coming back. And I had such a great time interacting with like-minded colleagues that work in a different environment than my own. I actually learned a ton talking to people and interacting with people. And it was just a great conference. The atmosphere was great. I think there was a lot of great sessions that occurred. And so I applied again this year and luckily was accepted to give this session on Back to the Drawing Board and then also a Beyond ACLS topic.
And while you're there this year in New Orleans, which is going to be a blast, are you going to have time to attend other sessions? I know you have a lot on your plate.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make some. I don't think I'm going to make that many. It's, as you know, anytime you travel. So our primary gig is usually our clinical gig, which is what pays the bills and puts food on the table. And so while you're there, you have to make the most of your time. And so it's not just lectures. It's also helping with the competitions and recording podcasts with others, catching up with people, networking. I'm going to try, but there's no guarantee that I'll actually make any of the other sessions. It was so much easier when we like just attended, you know?
And you're making me feel so much better because I had a tremendous amount of guilt last year for not making it. I mean, I made it to a couple of panels, like medical director panels with Dr. Jarvis and just stuff that I knew I did not want to miss. But I kind of left feeling guilty. Yeah, it's tough to fit it all in.
You know, I made it one of my priorities this year to actually register for conferences as like a learner, as a student, actually not going to lecture. Because what ends up happening is, at least on this side of it, as you start getting invited to lecture, you get invited to like more and more things. And along the way, you start becoming very niche and probably become almost expert level or a professional enthusiast, however you want to say it, in a certain area. But then there's other areas that start to fall behind. They start to lag. You just don't have the time to make the sessions to learn those things. So I've made it a priority this year to not lecture at every conference I go to. I've actually started registering for conferences so that I can actually get my learn on as well.
That's strategic and smart. It's something I haven't done, and it's the perfect example for listeners to hear how you've kind of mentored me. It's like you're further down the road in your process. And so as I'm hitting these bumps and I bounce it off of you, you've figured it out. Thank you for sharing kind of your strategies, because I think I'm going to have to do the same thing. Just start going to some conferences as an attendee. I haven't done that. You know, in the last 2 years, I haven't been doing that.
Yeah, I'm actually going. Anton Hellman has a course called the Podcasting Course, which kind of is a spinoff from the podcasting course we had put on. And I actually registered for it as a student, and he wrote me back and he was like, wait, but you're podcasting already. You helped me teach this course. Like, why are you signing up for it? And I was like, well, you know, technology changes. There's always something new somebody can learn, and we just cannot be experts at everything. And so I wanted to come as a student. I just wanted to sit in and just kind of learn, you know, how the course has morphed, and maybe I'll pick up some new tips that I can start applying to my podcasting. And he was just completely blown away by that. But
always a student,
always a learner, you know, growth mindset. Yeah.
Thanks for your time. I'm going to let you go and do all your superhero things that you do.
I appreciate that. I don't know that I'm a superhero. I'm actually a pretty normal guy. You know, I do laundry like everyone else does laundry. There's nothing special going on over here. There's no capes or anything. So,
well, thank you so much for your time. And Salim, I appreciate it. And we'll talk soon. I'll see you at Expo in New Orleans. We're going to party.
Oh yeah, some crawfish etouffee. That's my favorite like dish over there. So we're gonna have to eat some of that.
I'm shrimp and grits, so we can go to the same restaurant and I think both get what we want. I'll see you there.
All right, sounds like a plan. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been an episode of EMS World Podcast. You can find this audio and more like it on the podcast page of emsworld.com. You can also follow EMS World on Twitter and Facebook. And I'll see you in New Orleans in October for EMS World Expo.